Sitting here with composer Nico Muhly, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. And we've heard your piece, Mixed Messages. What were the mixed messages in the piece, and how does the music reflect that?
So I was really interested in music that can mean two things at once. And so, for instance, fast music that's actually really slow, or angry music that's actually really joyful, or in the case of this piece, there's this kind of aggressive shifting between, you know, music that feels, for instance, very, very angry and aggressive, and then all of a sudden is this sort of balletic and light and, I would say, sort of effervescent material. So it's about material that is shared between two moods that can be really conflicting and that can be, again, like every idea contains its own opposite.
And you were using the sections of the orchestra to be the vehicles for that too, as well as the musical material, right? The textural sections of the orchestra?
Right, so you have information that sort of starts the brass and then it gets kind of thrown into the winds and then the brass do something else, and it's this sort of trade-off. And part of the fun of writing this piece was that I wanted everyone in the orchestra to have something fun to do. So there's information that gets traded from, for instance, the very, very last stand of the first violins and the second violin. So one player all the way in the back, and that reappears in the front later, and it reappears in the brass later. So you get the sense of everyone sort of in a conversation.
I think you probably do that in all your music. You want people to have fun playing it. Is that a good description of it? You want everyone to have something really musical to play at all times?
I'm getting better at this. I mean, it's hard with an orchestra because there's so many people. And the danger, of course, is that it gets too complicated and gets too busy and it sounds like too many voices. But in this case, I knew that this piece was going to happen a bunch of times and it was going to happen on tour. So fun is one element of it, but it also has to be a challenge. It has to be something that you can really bite into. So I tried to make it technically just that line, you know, where it's not a pain, but something to chew on.
Always a balance. You've written for Chicago Symphony, you've worked with Hilary Hahn, Metropolitan Opera, the Opera Philadelphia, and also Bjork, Rufus Wainwright, Usher. Certainly a successful, hugely successful career, varied certainly. Is there a different part of your composing brain that you access when you're doing film music or writing for the Philadelphia Orchestra or arranging for a rock group?
No, I find it sort of the same. I mean, the big difference between, I would say, composing and arranging is that with an arrangement, you want to sort of write yourself out of the scenario. You want the song to sound good, right? You want the band to sound great. And in that sense, it's sort of like making clothes for someone where it's like you don't want the dress to look great, you want the person to look great who's wearing it. But I've started to realize, and I think part of this is because I've worked so much in a collaborative environment, that taking that spirit and reapplying it to concert music is actually really, really fun too. And so, for instance, for this piece with Philly, I wanted it to be something that made them as an orchestra kind of shine, and that makes Yannick also as a conductor kind of shine too. And it has stuff in it that's sort of designed to appeal to him, you know, just in my desperate plea to be loved by everybody.
Well, that's your second commission with the Philadelphia Orchestra. Your first one was
It was an orchestration of Bright Mass with Canons. Exactly.
Yeah, and Westminster Choir.
Yes.
And so they like you. They really like you.
That's a good feeling. And it's nice. I always feel like it's nice to come back to a place where you've done something and, you know, continue relationships and recognizing familiar faces. I think that's something that in the life of a composer so often you just are kind of running around in the situation where there's one of you and 100 strangers and you have to somehow make it work in 3 days.
Where does the inspiration come from? Can you pin that down?
What I do, and this is something that I learned really explicitly from my teacher, John Corleano, is you map out the piece as an emotional drama, or as a drama of energy, I think is the better way to put it. I mean, actually, in this particular case, you know, Yannick and I had a meeting in this very dressing room like 2.5 years ago when he asked me to write this piece. And he said, yeah, you can do whatever you want. It's the first piece on the program. Start and end loud. Thanks. So once he said that, you know, I sketched out on a piece of paper and you draw a line from loud to loud. You think, okay, well, what can we do between loud and loud? Well, you get soft in occasion, and you map out kind of an itinerary, just as you would, you know, if you have like 5 errands to run, you figure out in which order is the most kind of compelling to have a great afternoon. So that's kind of what it felt like. It's getting from loud to loud, from point A to point B, and, you know, figuring out all the different places you could go in the meantime.
Do you like in commissions for people to tell you as much as possible, or do you like to be let alone? Do you like it when you say, I want it to start loud? Is that something you like or not like?
I really like following instructions. I'm much happier when I have something to think about. I mean, the scariest thing, of course, is the blank page when you really don't know what you're doing. I mean, that's start loud and end loud is not, I don't think, an oppressive scenario. you know, but, and it's interesting, and I think I learned a lot of this from working with ballet, which is that, you know, there's a real sense in which you can make music that's for use, and music that has a social function, music that has a collaborative function. And I'm always just so delighted to be told, you know, why don't you try this? Why don't we try something slow? Why don't we try something fast? And then it feels like you're in conversation, rather than I think what is a romantic model of the composer as this kind of, you know, solitary genius who goes off and creates these immersive environments and whatever. And that's something that I personally resist. I mean, I know that that's still a good model for a lot of people, but I don't think I could get away with it.
You use the word collaboration a lot, collaborative, and getting the sense that to you, music is something useful for people communicating with each other.
It is, and I think it's a big negotiation. It starts from just the simple sort of rubbing of two notes together to make fire, and then you get this whole kind of conflagration. And it's a very social result coming from a very private instinct.
Nico Muley, congratulations on Mixed Messages, and thanks for taking a couple minutes to talk with me.
My pleasure.
Kyle Smith, Philadelphia Orchestra in Concert, and back to you, Greg.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.